Welcome to Health Cetera's podcast. In this podcast, Dr. Diana Mason, registered nurse and senior policy service professor at the Center for Health Policy and Media Engagement at the George Washington University School of Nursing, discusses access to primary care. Particularly in rural areas, access to primary care can be a challenge in the United States, especially because we don't keep track of how much we spend on it. The U.S. healthcare system has long underinvested in primary care and prevention and has instead prioritized acute care. As a result, the U.S. spends more on healthcare than any other peer country, yet ranks at the bottom of these countries in key indicators of population health. In this podcast, Diana Mason interviews Louise Cohen, CEO of the Primary Care Development Corporation. The Primary Care Development Corporation is the only community development financial institution dedicated to improving primary care capacity in communities and the nation through low-interest loans, technical assistance, and advocacy. This interview was recorded on March 17, 2021, on Health Cetera in the Catskills radio program on WIOX Radio and is hosted by Diana Mason.
The closure of Joanne McLaughlin's primary care practice raises the issue of the adequacy of primary care services in our region. But primary care capacity is an issue for the whole state and nation. And here to talk with us about this issue is Louise Cohen, who is the CEO of the Primary Care Development Corporation, the only community development financial institution in the nation that focuses solely on building primary capacity. Louise, I think this is a welcome back to Health Cetera in the Catskills, is it? Or is this your first time?
No, this is my first time. Thanks for having me. Yeah. I'm so glad to join you.
Well, I'm really glad you're here. And for transparency purposes, I serve on the board of directors of the Primary Care Development Corporation. So let's start with what we mean by primary care and what that entails. I think, in healthcare, we know what it means, but I think a lot of times people wonder, well, what is that?
Yeah, I think it's really confusing. So I guess what I would say is primary care is the first person that you go to for your healthcare. It's care that is comprehensive. So it's not just you go in for your knee that hurts, but the provider is really looking at your whole person and thinking about where you are in your life cycle, what do you need, how can you stay healthy. What can that person do to support you in being a healthier person by making sure that you have the right screenings, making sure that they take care of you when you're feeling ill? It's continuous, so it means essentially not just seeing them once, but you get to know someone, and then you understand who they are, and you can basically understand what their needs are, you know, before they come in, which is the kind of thing that you don't get when you get the opposite of primary care, which is episodic. So you go into an urgent care center and you get one thing taken care of, and maybe you go in again and again, but that person, whoever's seeing you there, isn't really putting it all together and treating you as a whole person. So primary care is kind of that comprehensive, coordinated, continuous care that someone who knows you well and lives and works in your community. That's what primary care is to me.
And I think we have to remember that in this country in 1946, we passed what was called the Hill-Burton Act that invested in the development of hospitals and acute care in this country. And we've never had a Hill-Burton Act for primary care. And so we have an underdeveloped primary care system, particularly compared to other developed countries, don't we?
Yes, I think that's really true.
Some water, yes. My point is that that in New York State and even in our local area, it's not something unique. The whole country hasn't really paid attention to primary care, which is why Primary Care Development Corporation is so important.
Yeah, I think that if we think about it, you know, we need hospitals. Hospitals are critically important, aside from the fact that they're anchor institutions, they provide great jobs in communities. But a hospital, being in a hospital bed doesn't make you necessarily healthier. It will help you with a particular issue that you went in for, but it doesn't do preventive care. It doesn't think about making sure that you have all your vaccinations. It doesn't think through things that might be problems that are beginning to emerge, but maybe are things that we could make sure that they don't get worse in the future. So while we need hospital beds, and we need them when we're really injured or when we're very sick, but we actually need primary care. And the reality of it is that primary care is truly underfunded in this country. You know, we spend a lot of money on healthcare in this country, over $3 trillion, almost $4 trillion. And if you think about every healthcare dollar, you know, primary care gets about 5 to 7 cents of that dollar. And what we think is that it really should change so that there is a much greater investment in primary care, so that primary care will be available to you in your neighborhood when you need it, where you need it, and that there is sufficient reimbursement for primary care providers so that they can continue to build their own knowledge, and as well that we can really make sure that the next crop of primary care providers, whether they are nurses or physician assistants or nurse practitioners or doctors, you know, that they, that those folks really have an incentive to work in, particularly in rural communities where we know that there are many fewer primary care doctors for the population than in urban areas.
Now, the Primary Care Development Corporation has done an analysis of primary care capacity, the state of primary care in the state and by county. And how do we fare in the state and in, let's say, Delaware County or the Catskill region?
Well, you know, what we know is that in rural communities, and what's really true in Delaware County as well as in Greene County, in Sullivan, in Schoharie County, that there are many fewer primary care providers per population than in urban areas. And that that's not only true for primary care providers, but it's also true for other kinds of providers, including those that provide treatment for substance use disorders, yes, or those that treat behavioral health, yes, or mental health issues, or those that provide services, family planning services, or women's health services, mm-hmm, an example. And we know that the rural counties, including Delaware County, are generally, they're poorer. People believe that their health is not as good as in more urban areas of the state. There's less insurance, health insurance coverage in the rural communities. And what we know is that an example of all of that, and one of the ways that we in healthcare kind of think about this is you take a look and you see, how many people are coming into an emergency room or a hospital for something that could have been prevented had they had access to a primary care provider who could work with them over time to manage their disease? So, for example, you know, there's no reason why anyone in this country should, you know, have to have a leg amputated or a foot amputated because of diabetes, right? There's no reason for that because we know how to treat it, and we know how to prevent diabetes in many cases. But that requires an ongoing working relationship with a primary care provider, and if you don't have that, you're much more likely to end up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So what we find across the state is that there are many counties that have very few primary care providers. In fact, some counties have none, including some counties in, you know, obviously the counties in rural areas. And so there's an uneven distribution of the resources that we have in New York State. Most healthcare facilities tend to be located along some of the major transportation routes, so the highways that bisect our state. And we know that people in rural areas have to travel much farther in order to get the healthcare that they need. So one of the things that we learned is that uneven distribution, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, we can do things to change that. We can do things to bring more resources, particularly into the rural communities. And what we know is when we have more primary care providers, it turns out that people actually feel healthier. And now we can't say that there's a bright line, you know, connecting the two things, but we can say that that's a finding that has really been seen across the country when you do these analyses about how many primary care providers there are, and what people say on surveys is, you know, how they believe their own health status is. If they believe they have really good health status, they're more likely to live in a county that has more primary care providers. we also know that in counties that have more primary care providers, people have a tendency to live longer. There's a greater life expectancy. And we know, actually, and I think this is important, is that it's less costly. When you have more primary care providers, you actually don't have to spend as much on health care as when you have fewer primary care providers. So there's a lot of reasons for people's health, for the well-being of the county's children, adult workforce, and our seniors, as well as for the economics. Those are all good reasons why we need more primary care.
Louise Cohen, you are one of the nation's experts on primary care capacity and building primary care capacity. So what would be at the top of your list for how to build out primary care, how to improve that picture, particularly in rural areas, maybe in the state, but I'm particularly interested in rural areas. What do we need to do?
So I think there's a couple things that I would say we need to do. You know, the first thing is that we need to take a look at what health care is really available on a county-by-county basis. And I know that in Delaware County, I believe there is no federally qualified health
Correct.
Center.
Correct.
And what a federally qualified health center is, for your listeners who may not know, this is an organization that is a community-led and driven. The board of this organization has to be people who live in the community and utilize the health center's facilities. And this kind of health center gets some additional reimbursement and some grants from the federal government in order to support on sort of a whole wide variety of services. So it's pediatrics, it's dentistry, it's primary care, it's could be a social worker, and it could be led by a nurse practitioner or by a physician. But the idea here is they're really providing full services. And I know that there are some other parts of the state, like in the North Country, where there are networks of federally qualified health centers that have really made a difference in those communities. And I would argue that the middle part of the state, you know, part around Delaware County really doesn't have a sufficient community health centers that could really make a big difference. And those are centers that can also provide mental health services and substance use disorder services and family planning and all the things that we know really matter for communities as a whole. So that's one thing I would discuss. It's not the easiest thing in the world to just open up a federally qualified health center, but you know, we have over 100-some-odd sites, 100,000 sites in the whole country, so we know that it can be done, and we've done a lot of work to help folks open up these kinds of health centers. I think the second thing is that it's really critical that rural counties get their fair share of things like the American Rescue Plan. As you know, it was just a very large stimulus plan that was just passed by Congress, and it includes a number of things, including a large amount of money for rural health care to support activities around eliminating the COVID-19 threat. And what we know is in your county and in other counties near you that there's still a fairly significant positivity rate for COVID, and so we know that there may or may not be enough testing, tracing, and treatment resources in addition to your counties get sufficient vaccinations. So I think it's really critical that your counties get their fair share of the dollars that are coming through the health system right now. And I think the third thing, and this is really, really important, when we're talking about the lack of primary care providers, again, whether they're nurse practitioners or nurses or medical technicians or doctors or dentists, we need to build pathways for young people in rural communities around healthcare careers so that those people who want to stay in their community will be able to have a healthcare career, which is a good job and a steady job and really necessary for the surrounding community. And I think we have to do better at building apprenticeship programs and teaching and making sure that people can stay in their communities. We know that a lot of people have left rural areas, right, to go because they're not given necessarily the educational opportunities. But we know that in some counties across the country where they're really recruiting for medical schools and for nursing schools from the local community with the idea that they would train people and that those people would make a commitment to that community. So I think we need to do a better job of building those pathways. You know, and I think that will help because, you know, those people who want to live in a rural community should have access to the same kind of educational opportunities and great jobs that you can get in an urban environment, and we know that's not always true. So those would be the three things that I would suggest.
On the last point, just a couple thoughts. One is that I sit on the advisory board for the SUNY Delhi, State University of New York at Delhi School of Nursing, and they have been talking about, and I've been encouraging them to do a family nurse practitioner program. One of the challenges they're finding is because there are so few women's health services in the region, they aren't able to get clinical placements for the students for that component of the family nurse practitioner program. So we are talking about, well, maybe an adult health program or something, but it'd be great. So that's something we have to sort of figure out in these rural areas that have so few healthcare services related to primary care. How do you build those educational pathways if you don't have the clinical practica for them? And the other issue that I'd welcome your comment on has to do with loan forgiveness. So we know that there have been programs physicians, for nurse practitioners who agree to work in underserved areas. There have been federal dollars to support that, the tuition and the cost of that education, in return for serving some time. Sort of payback time. Now, oftentimes I've seen where the clinician puts that time in and then leaves. And so I'm not sure that it's the total solution. But I know that the Primary Care Development Corporation was actually looking at how to support primary care practices by offering some kind of support to the practices for that kind of loan forgiveness. Can you talk a little bit about those kinds of strategies?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I mean, I think that you know, the two issues that you raise are really combined, because it's really a conundrum, right? If you can't get new providers because you don't have the existing services, so people don't have a place to train, then you can't get new providers, and then you can't get new services.
Yes.
It's really a problem that we have to sort of figure out how to stop you know, that kind of circular problem that we've got. And so, you know, there may be ways in which there could be perhaps some, you know, relationships built with between more rural and more urban areas of the state where practicum agreements can be made so that someone could do their training and they could be compensated for either travel or for, you know, moving someplace for 6 weeks to get that training and then coming back. I mean, I think it's and that's one way to do it. And the other way to do it is to build these centers and try to do it in a way that doesn't rely only on one provider who happens to be there, but really building that pipeline. I think that loan programs are actually useful, but we have noticed that one of the problems with those kinds of programs is that sometimes the salary level is very different in a more urban area than a rural area, and so someone might choose to not take a placement in a more rural area because they could make more money in a city. So I think we have to figure out a way to kind of even that out and recognize that we want to pay people, you know, signing on and retention bonuses for working in communities that are disinvested in. I mean, that's the way you get more investment into a community, is you invest in it. You know, you can't constantly just kind of complain that there's, you know, there's this vicious cycle. You have to figure out how you're going to put more money into it. And the loan programs, I think, are important. And in fact, there's actually a fair amount of training and loan forgiveness money also in the new American Rescue Plan. And I would certainly urge that rural areas try to get their fair share, certainly, of the training dollars, because it might be that some of those training dollars could be used for some creative ways to to create kind of residency programs in nearby more urban areas, so that we don't lose the folks who want to work in a rural area but just can't get the training, and then they move away and we lose them for the community.
That's a great suggestion. So I want to, in the closing minutes, talk a little bit about your mentioning about how much we spend on primary care. You're saying 5 to 7 cents on every dollar that's spent in healthcare in this country. What do we know about New York's ability to track our primary care spend, and what do we need to do? Why is this so important, and what do we need to do to have a better handle on it and to improve the spending? We know the hospitals aren't going to give up what they get, right? So, how do we reallocate? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we're calling for a rebalancing of healthcare financing. You know, we recognize that, you know, again, hospitals are important, and hospitals actually provide about a third of the primary care in New York State. So they're an important part of the primary care ecosystem. But what we don't want to really talk about hospitals so much as we want to talk about rebalancing the care towards primary care, preventive care, early diagnosis and treatment in communities, and that way we can reduce the costly, expensive care that happens when someone doesn't have that kind of prevention and that kind of primary care. So we think that you can rebalance that those dollars spent, but part of it is you do want to bring in more money to primary care, so there will be more primary care providers. People will think, oh, this is a job trajectory that I can go into and that I can make a living at, and that I really can be committed to over my life. It's I'm not making a decision between being a specialist doctor who makes more money and a primary care doctor. I'm really saying this is the trajectory that I want to be on. So I think we have to have primary care providers sufficient supply. We have to have facilities that are modern and appropriate for people. We need to make sure that primary care providers can provide the full array of services that they need to provide. So again, you know, I would consider, you know, dentistry is very important. A lot of people don't ever get to a dentist, and it's actually really important for your health. And women's health care, which we need so desperately. Those are all things that I consider really a form of primary care. And so what we're talking about here is doing this slowly. This isn't a quick fix, but saying, you know, let's change the percentage of primary care spending. Let's add a 1% year over year. And what we found in some other states that have done this is that they've actually increased the amount of money that's been spent on primary care. They have better outcomes, and they have a more equitable healthcare system. And so we have found over the experience of a number of states who have done this that, in fact, it really focuses the healthcare system to think about primary care and how to build that out. Now, in New York State, we don't have a very strong centralized primary care or healthcare planning system. So I think it is a little tricky, but we have we're hoping that we can do this by some states. It's really been done by the legislature has passed a bill requiring that the state and that the insurers who are licensed by the state all increase their primary care spending over time to get to somewhere around 12 to 14 cents on the dollar, which is kind of what the systems in some other places in Canada and Europe, where they have better outcomes and much lower costs, that's about what they're spending on primary care. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking that we want to, you know, basically get to that point. And then I think what we'll see is a real reduction in the need for the very expensive care, because people will be getting a good primary care prevention. And we'll also see more primary care providers, and we'll see healthier communities.
Yeah.
So to me, that's just kind of a win all the way around.
Yes. Well, Louise Cohen, this is such an important topic, and I really appreciate your taking the time to talk with everyone about the importance of primary care and giving us some thoughts about how our communities can really try to start ramping up our primary care services, and it's really a crucial issue. Louise Cohen, CEO of the Primary Care Development Corporation, thank you so much, Louise, and can you tell people how they can get more information about PCDC?
Sure, and thank you so much for having me. I always love talking about primary care, and happy to talk to you. We have a website at pcdc.org, and on our website there's all kinds of information, but there's also a number of places where you can write in and ask us for more information, or you could ask someone to call you and talk to you about, you know, what you're interested in. So we'd be happy to try to help folks in your county think through how do we get better and more primary care into your county. It would be a terrific honor for us to do so.
Thank you so much, Louise Cohen, CEO of the Primary Care Development Corporation.
You've been listening to a podcast of HealthCetera in the Catskills. For more podcasts and discussions of important health issues and policies affecting health, go to HealthCetera's website and blog at www.healthmediapolicy.com. That's www.healthmediapolicy.com. This podcast was produced by Dr. Diana Mason and production assistant Kai Volsey.